Yesterday, Sayadawji explained that the two kinds of Lokiya Satya, two kinds of mundane truth, are difficult to be discerned, and thus they are profound. And the other two Satya, Logodara Satya, super mundane truth, are profound, and thus difficult to be discerned. In order to discern Dukkha Satya, the truth of suffering, to remove Smudhya Satya, the truth of origin of suffering, to realize Nirodha Satya, the truth of cessation, and to develop Magga Satya, the truth of path leading to cessation, one needs to dispel the opposite states, which are nivarana, hindrances. Removal of these hindrances are connected to systematic practice. It is said that sama patipada, meaning that removal of the nivarana hindrances.
Patipada.
Removal of the hindrances are connected with the systematic practice. In order that the nivarana hindrances would be removed, one has to practice systematically. And yesterday, Sayadawji also explained that by being mindful of presently arising object, at the moment the object arises, one will sure discern the true nature of the object. In order to know the true nature of the object, one needs to note rising, falling of the abdomen without failing, without missing. In order to note the object, one should aim the noting mind towards the object and note it very closely, and one needs jhanic factor. Vitaka is the jhanic factor, aiming, directing the noting mind towards the object so that the noting mind will be face to face with the object. In order that the noting mind should reach the object of meditation, one should exert ardent effort in the practice. It is called atapa viriya. One needs to exert ardent effort so that the noting mind will reach the object of meditation. When noting with aim and effort, the noting mind rubs onto the object. When the noting mind rubs onto the object, it is vichara, which is another jhanic factor. So noting the object with aim and effort, the noting mind will hit the target, which is the object. The noting mind rubs onto the object, and vichara develops. So one does not need to develop vichara deliberately, but just by noting the object with aim and effort, when the noting mind rubs onto the object, vichara will develop automatically. So it is important to note the object with aim and effort. And when these two factors, aiming and effort, are present, then one is practicing systematically. When one is practicing systematically by noting the object with aim and effort, then the noting mind will rub against the object. There will be upatthana, there will be steadfast mindfulness, And when one's noting mind is aimed towards the object, then the noting mind is direct with the object of meditation. And there will be sustained mindfulness. The mind will not run elsewhere. There will be kanika samadhi, momentary concentration. As the yogi practices over some time, again and again, practicing, then one becomes skillful in the practice, and the noting mind is aimed towards the object. Automatically, as the yogi gains skill in the practice, at that stage, vitaka becomes sammasangappa, the right application, and the noting mind will be direct or face to face with the object. And samadhi, concentration, will develop, and the noting mind falls calm and collected on the object. When the noting mind falls on rising of the abdomen, one comes to know the nature, such as stiffness, tension, and one develops knowledge. At times, the noting mind falls on movement. Yogi comes to know it as movement, and one comes to know the true nature. One comes to know correctly. And when one notes the object with sustained mindfulness, with aim and effort, then one's noting will be effective and one will come to know about the object. So when one analyzes the noting, aiming, directing the noting mind towards the object, it is vitaka. Art and effort is atapa viriya. This art and effort is also called sammavayama, right effort. And the noting mind rubs onto the object. The noting mind rubs against the object. And thus it is vichara when the noting mind rubs against the object. And the mind, noting mind, sticks onto the object. Sati, mindfulness, is developed. This sati is sustained on the object, and the noting mind fall calm and collected on the object, and thus kanika samadhi, momentary concentration, develops. So vitaka becomes sammasangappa, right application, and one comes to know the true nature. So analyzing the noting, these factors are present. When there is vitaka, right application, one is free from mitya vitaka, wrongful thoughts. Asserting effort in the practice, one overcomes kosaccha, laziness. Laziness is dispelled when one's mind is alert with effort. So when effort is present, tina, not wanting to assert effort, withdrawing from the practice, and middha, exhausted, wanting to take easy in the practice, such cannot arise when effort is present. When vitaka is present, then the mind will not be constricted, but instead, the mind will be fresh and alert. So having vitaka present, the mind becomes fresh, opens, and blossoms. Tinamita, sloth and torpor, makes the mind contracted, constricted, but vitaka keeps the mind fresh, alert, fresh, open, and blossom. Having vitaka present, the mind will not be constricted, but the mind will be fresh, open, and blossom. Vitakka is directly opposite of tinamita, sloth, and torpor. Having viriya present, viriya also dispels laziness so that laziness cannot arise. So in this way, vitakka is the opposite of laziness. Atapa viriya, ardent effort, overwhelms laziness. As a beginner yogi, in the beginning of the practice, yogis have to fight with laziness at first. Laziness is the nearest internal enemy which gives most trouble. So in order to keep the enemy away, one needs to note the object continuously with aim and effort. In the beginning of the practice, laziness usually tortures the yogi. So in order to dispel laziness, one should exert ardent effort in the practice. Exerting ardent effort in the practice, laziness will not have chance to arise. Having vichara, when the noting is effective, when the noting mind rubs against the object, one will become certain about rising, one will become certain about falling, and thus one removes doubt automatically. There will not be uncertainty or doubt. Doubt will be removed. So when the noting mind rubs against stiffness, one comes to know stiffness. When the noting mind rubs against tension, one comes to know tension. There will not be uncertainty or doubt. Sati mindfulness protects the mind so that the mind will not be polluted and there will be sustained mindfulness on the object. Having samadhi concentration, the mind is calm and collected on the object and there will not be odicca kokocca, there will not be restlessness or remorse. Vitakka becomes sammasangappa, right application, and thus one comes to know the true nature, such as stiffness, tension, and so on. And one also understands that stiffness, tension is the object. One comes to understand that stiffness, tension is one thing, the noting mind is another. In this way, one discerns distinctly between materiality and mentality. And later on, one also understands cause and effect. And one sees rising of the abdomen arises, passes away, falling of the abdomen arises and passes away. And one develops samadhi, right view. One discerns from his or her experience, and one develops panya, wisdom. Panya means knowing distinctly, outstandingly, in a clear-cut way. When patipakkha, when the opposite mental states are removed by practicing systematically, one will see that these mental factors, these mental strengths arise. By practicing systematically, the opposite mental states, nivaranas, will be removed. And removal of these nivaranas are connected with systematic practice. So to explain with an example, Saraji explains about sitting down from standing position. So when sitting down, one should have the mindfulness on the whole body sitting down. Just like the saying, in order to know the true nature, One needs to note at the moment the object arises. So one should keep one's awareness on the whole body sitting down, the lower part of the body becoming bent, and the body gradually becomes heavier and heavier. One has to note it as sitting and sitting, sitting, sitting. So one should not be analyzing that intention to sit is nama mentality. The actual sitting down is rupa materiality. So one should not be analyzing this is nama, this is rupa. But one should be mindful continuously at the moment of sitting. So when sitting down, one should sit stage by stage, layer by layer, inch by inch. If one sits down very quickly, abruptly, one will not know anything. So one should sit down slowly like a sick person, and one should sit gradually, stage by stage. And one should note it as sitting, sitting. One should note it with aim and effort. So at first, when sati and samadhi, mindfulness and concentration, are not strong yet, one's mind fall onto the form or shape of sitting. So at the beginning, it happens that one only knows form or shape of the sitting, but it does not matter as long as the mind does not go elsewhere. At times, the mind falls on mode or manner of sitting. It happens in the beginning of the practice that one knows the mode or manner of sitting when noting sitting. It doesn't matter as long as the noting mind does not run elsewhere. But as the yogi notes sitting accurately with aim and effort, then the yogi will discern the nama and rupa, mentality and materiality that manifests at the moment of sitting. At times, one knows the intention to sit. At times, one knows the sitting, the actual sitting, stage by stage. Knowing the sitting, stage by stage, one knows dukkha satya, which is materiality. And the series of intention to sit, when one knows the series of intention to sit, one comes to know nama, dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, which is mentality. So because there is samapatipatti, because one practices systematically with full effort, with this mental strength, one comes to know dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, and one comes to know mentality and materiality. Usually, yogi knows mostly on rupa dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, the materiality. Knowing thus, one is removing the opposite mental states. When the noting mind falls on heaviness, tension, knowing heaviness and tension, one is knowing rupa dukkha satya, materiality, which is the truth of suffering. Even though the dukkha satya is difficult to be discerned and thus profound, but when one sits down mindfully, knowing heaviness, tension, stiffness, and so on. One is discerning rupa dukkha satya, materiality, which is the truth of suffering. So one should be noting continuously at the moment of sitting. Knowing the series of intention to sit, one knows nama dukkha satya, mentality, which is the truth of suffering. So one should be noting so that one has this mental strength present and one comes to know the dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, both mentality and materiality. By being able to note, one will be removing these nivaranas, hindrances, and the dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, will become supagata, very prominent to the yogi who notes. So at the moment of sitting down, one should note with aim and effort so that the noting will be effective and one is practicing systematically. When sitting down, one should sit stage by stage, slowly, noting sitting, and at times, one knows nama dukkha satya, mentality, which is the truth of suffering, the truth of suffering. And at times, one knows stiffness, heaviness, which is rupa dukkha satya, materiality, which is truth of suffering. And when the noting mind falls on these nama rupa, one knows clearly. At the moment of sitting down, the intention to sit is nama, which is the cause, and the sitting down is rupa, materiality. At the moment of sitting down, there is the nama and rupa, mentality and materiality. There is no other thing apart from nama and rupa. Nama, rupa, mentality and materiality, it is not a living being, it is not a person, a being, or a creature, but it is nama, rupa, mentality and materiality, which are the truth of suffering. One discerns clearly and one removes attaditi, wrong view of self or soul. Samaditi, right view, dispels attaditi, wrong view on atta. Having samaditi present, it removes michaditi, wrong view. And at the moment of sitting, there is only nama and rupa, mentality and materiality, no other thing such as being or creature or person. In this way, one removes the opposite mental state. When light arises, darkness is dispelled automatically. And when one notes the object at the moment of sitting, series of intention to sit, it is the cause, which is nama, mentality. And the actual sitting down, it is rupa, materiality, which is the effect. Being mindful at the moment of sitting down, one understands cause and effect. Understanding cause and effect, one understands that sitting down does not arise without a cause. So at the moment of sitting down, one understands cause and effect, knowing that the intention to sit down gives rise to materiality, sitting down, becoming heavier and heavier. So the intention to sit down will not give rise to other materiality, but it will give rise to materiality, sitting down, becoming heavier and heavier. So in this way, one understands that relevant causes give rise to relevant effect, and one will no longer have wrong view that Mahabrahma is creating. One understands that at the moment of sitting down, the nama mentality is the cause, and the actual sitting down materiality is the effect. So in this way, one will no longer believe in Brahma Atta, Supreme Soul, that Supreme Soul is creating. So one removes this wrong view on Brahma Atta, Supreme Soul. Samadhiti is developed. Samadhiti means right view. In other words, it is also called Panya, as one knows clearly. As one continues to practice, one develops these mental strength. These mental strength become strong and energized. And one sees that the nama rupa phenomena that are arising as cause and effect arise and passes away. The old passing away, the new arising, the old passing away, and the new arising. And one sees that these arise at one moment and dissolves at another. And thus one understands anicca, impermanence. Knowing the impermanence through noting, it is vipassana. Vip means one sees these nama rupa phenomena which are arising as cause and effect as being impermanent. And passana means knowing. Seeing the impermanence, one also sees things as suffering. If one sees things as permanent, then one will take it as good and pleasant. Seeing the impermanence, one will no longer think of it as good or so. Seeing the impermanence, one also overcomes the wrong view that there is a permanent soul or self. In this way, one also understands anatta, non-self. So seeing these characteristics, impermanent, suffering, and non-self, it is vipassana. Vip means in various ways, in various forms of impermanent, suffering, and non-self. Seeing various characteristics of impermanent, suffering, and non-self, it is called vi. And pasana means seeing or knowing. When one sees the impermanence, one will no longer cling to permanence, and thus one removes mana, conceit. Knowing things as suffering, one will no longer take things as good or pleasant, and thus one removes tanha, craving. And one also comes to understand that things happen in their own accord, and one removes dikti, wrong view. In this way, by developing vipassana, jnana, by developing inside knowledge, one removes mana, conceit, tanha, craving, and also ditti, wrong view. At this stage, there will be vipassana jhana. Knowing the characteristics of these nama rupa arising as cause and effect, one sees the unique characteristics as well as the common characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self. And one closely observe it with concentrated mind. It is also called jhana. Combining these two, it becomes vipassana jhana. So by being mindful of these nama rupa phenomena, which are dukkha satta, the truth of suffering, knowing them correctly, one discerns dukkha satta, the truth of suffering. And based on these nama rupa, based on these mentality and materiality that are being noted, one comes to know correctly. Knowing correctly, one will no longer crave onto these objects. Knowing things as suffering, one removes tanha, craving, lobha, greed. Craving, greed has no chance to arise when one sees things as suffering. Removing tanha, removing craving, one dispels mudiya satta, the truth of origin of suffering. So by being mindful, when one is developing these mental factors, one discerns dukkha satta, one discerns the truth of suffering. By discerning the truth of suffering, one also removes tanha, craving, which is mudiya satta, the truth of origin of suffering. So it will be two at a blow. Seeing that the nama rupa, mentality and materiality, are impermanent suffering and non-self, having this knowledge, impermanent suffering and non-self, one removes avijja, ignorance, not knowing the truth, knowing wrongly, is removed. So kilesa, vata, round of defilements, will be cut. If one does not know correctly, one will have craving attachment. Knowing correctly, one removes tanha, craving. Removing tanha, craving, there will not be clinging. Understanding anatta, non-self, one will no longer believe in soul. One will no longer believe in soul that is permanent. So in this way, one removes avijja, tanha, and upadana, ignorance, craving, and clinging. So one is said to be cutting the kilesa vata, the round of defilements. And there will be the Dhanga Sandhi, momentary peace. When kilesa defilements are removed, when this kilesa vata, round of defilements, are removed, then one is also cutting the karma that leads to lower existences. One will not develop unwholesome deed that can lead to lower existences. Removing kilesa defilements, one no longer develops vatagami kusala, the ordinary kind of wholesomeness that can lead to further existence. But instead, one is developing vivatagami kusala, the wholesomeness that does not lead to further existences. So in this way, removing karma, removing ordinary wholesomeness, removing the unwholesomeness developing the kind of wholesomeness that does not lead to further existences, then vipakavada, round of resultants, will also come to a stop. When one does not develop the deeds that lead to further existences, one also removes patisandhi, rebirth, which is the direct resultant, and also the further resultants such as seeing, hearing. These resultants will also come to a stop. So in this way, removing kilesa vata, round of defilements, one also is stopping vipaka vata, the round of resultant, and there will be momentary cessation, and it is called the Dhanga Nirodha, momentary cessation. Discerning Dukkha Satta, the truth of suffering, one is also developing Sila Magganga, Smadhi Magganga, and Panya Magganga, the factors of the path consisting of Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Knowing correctly, one is developing Vipassana Samadhi, and thus one is developing Sila, Samadhi, Panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. And in terms of factors, 8 factors of the path are developed. So by discerning Dukkha Satta, one is also developing the 8 factors of the path, which are Pobhapaka Magga, preliminary path. In this way, discerning Dukkha Satta, the 4 tasks of discerning, dispelling, realizing, and developing will be done. Knowing that these Dukkha Satta are impermanent suffering and non-self, discerning Dukkha Satta, one also removes Smudhya Satta, the truth of origin of suffering. One realizes Nirodha Satta, one realizes momentary cessation, and one develops the preliminary path. So it is four at a blow. By being mindful, by discerning Dukkha Satta, by discerning the truth of suffering, one automatically removes Smudhya, realizes Nirodha, and develops Magga. So that's why it is said that discerning Dukkha Satta, the other 3 suttas will also be known. So discerning Dukkha Satta, one removes Smudhya Satta, the truth of origin of suffering. One realizes Nirodha Satta, as there will be momentary cessation. And one develops Magga Satta, as the preliminary path has been developed. Whenever one is noting the Nama Rupa mentality that are arising in oneself, whenever one notes them with full strength of these mental powers, by discerning these Dukkha Satta, the truth of suffering, one is also cutting the Kilesa Vata, the round of defilements, Kama Vata, round of deeds, and Vipaka Vata, round of resultants. And thus, one is said to be developing Vivatagami Bhavana Kusala, the wholesomeness that does not lead to further existences. So in each of the noting, it is very precious. One should know that each of the mindfulness, each of the notings are precious. If one does not know the value of each noting, then one will be practicing in easygoing manner. one will not be practicing seriously. Even though one knows the value, but as they've been very used to taking easy, then they do not practice seriously. So in order to develop the wholesomeness that is high and noble, if one is negligent in developing high standard wholesomeness, then it will be pamada. So in order to have appamada, one should practice continuously every single second so that there will not be pamada. So Xiaoji encourages that one values and cherishes each of the notings, and Saraji encourages everyone to practice respectfully, valuing, cherishing each of the notings.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.